Blame the English nobility. The Magna Carta and Anglo-American jurisprudence. A few weeks ago, our disgruntled neighbors to the south, not Assiniboia but the United States, formed a Senate committee to question business people about union organizing. Committee Chair Senator Bernie Sanders challenged a coffee mogul about the organizing practices at his businesses. The organizing controversy is at least 900 years old. 1066 and William the Conqueror, a brief history. William the Conqueror, a Frenchman from Normandy, got a bunch of buddies together and invaded England in 1066. They killed English King Harold II at the Battle of Hastings and took over. William's French-speaking buddies had their own private armies. After success at Hastings, the noble dudes spent a few years killing and plundering and taking over most of England. In exchange for their support, William the Conqueror gave the barons and noblemen huge tracts of land farmed by serfs. These serfs farmed the noblemen's land, and in exchange for their work, the nobleman gave the serfs part of the crop but kept most for himself. The nobleman always had a big share of the crop, so he sold some and lived high on the hog. The serfs just plodded along. The serfs were treated okay because, if nobles didn't have serfs, they didn't have anyone to farm their land. It was a working relationship. To be a nobleman, you had to be born into a noble family and inherit the estate and farm. To be a serf, you just had to be the child of serfs. The nobility power arrangement went well until the greedy little King John, 1199-1216, took over from his brother, King Richard I. King John believed he had ultimate power and would deal with each nobleman one-on-one. Since King John's army was bigger than any single nobleman's army, he could bully the nobility. The barons, noblemen, did not like being bullied. They realized, there is safety in numbers. The noblemen and the well-to-do church leaders organized. The noblemen's combined armies were bigger than the king's and they threatened civil war. They told King John they'd kick his butt back across the English Channel. Not really. I made this up. If he didn't quit bullying them and agree to their demands to share power and control over their lives and estates. The noblemen wrote a list of their demands, called Articles, and called it the Magna Carta, Latin for the Great Charter. Rather than get his butt kicked, King John agreed to sign the Magna Carta and did so on June 15, 1215. Of significance, the Magna Carta stipulated the king, the sovereign, and his, her heirs were subject to the rule of law and certain liberties and rights were granted to free men. Of course, free men were the barons, nobles, and church leaders. The serfs were not included and went back farming the land. There you have it. English nobility organized the first union, the coming together of people for the same purpose. They wanted to control the power of the king. And they did. Sovereigns had a history of not keeping their word. The noblemen knew this from experience, so they insisted 25 of their representatives serve as a form of security to make sure the sovereign did not go back on his, her word. Clause 61. Conclusion. The Magna Carta is the foundation of individual rights and freedoms in Anglo-American law. As you'd expect, lawyers have argued about the meaning of each clause ever since. King John rolled up in the Magna Carta. The views and opinions expressed in this article are those of the author, and do not necessarily reflect the position of this publication.